Alti, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria and Switzerland.
Investments in real estate strategies have become increasingly attractive for European asset owners in recent years. Investments in forestry real estate turn out to show the potential of this asset class. Today's episode is about forestry investments for professional and institutional investors. We are pleased to welcome Mr. Kari Kangers in the virtual studio. Kari holds a doctorate in forestry, and he is the fund manager of the Timberland Fund at United Bankers Asset Management from Finland. Hello, Kari. Nice to have you with us. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm fine. I mean, winter came early this year to Finland, so it means that the timber harvesting operations are running smoothly.
Yeah, we heard it's pretty cold over there in Finland. Kari, you're the fund manager of a fund that invests in forestry. How often are you in the forest? What's your background? And please give us an overview about the role of United Bankers in this business.
To be honest, I'm not in the forest often enough because there's a lot of client work and administrative work, and since we are quite big forest owners already, we manage in Finland 115,000 hectares. It makes us the fourth biggest forest owner in Finland. So it takes a field organization also. But I try to go as often as possible. But it means that it's usually on my spare time, not working time.
Okay, and the role of United Bankers in this business?
We started our first Timberland Investment Fund in 2014. We are one of the biggest Timberland Fund managers in Northern Europe, and as I said, fourth biggest forest owners altogether, our funds. And we have started also in 2018 to invest in the Baltics because the Finnish market is quite limited, even though we have plenty of forest. But nobody is really willing to sell it.
Now, the big question, why should a regulated professional investor invest in forest, and what is so unique about this asset class?
Forest, timberland investment, it's an opportunity to diversify the portfolio. It fits to any kind of portfolio. It improves the risk return ratio, whatever your return target is, and it's a natural component of a broad long-term investment portfolio. Furthermore, there's very limited correlation with the stock market. Forest provides an inflation hedge with low volatility, and also it provides value preservation and steady cash flow. I think that those are the main arguments.
What are the main challenges in the Finnish forest property market going in 2022? Next year.
Yes, I think that they are the same as this year and year before. The market value of Finnish private forests is about 60 billion euros. And guess how much? How big is the annual market? Timberland coming for sale in public markets, it's about 130, 140 million euros. Mm-hmm. So it's basically nothing. So it means that there's a lot of competition. Funds are competing with private investors. So it means also that the market is efficient. That's on the other hand, that is good. Another challenge is that that the ownership is quite scattered. We have more than 600,000 private forest owners in Finland, and the average holding is about 30 hectares. So It means that you need to buy a lot of properties to build an institutional portfolio.
How can I imagine a hectare?
It's 100 meters by 100 meters.
That's pretty big, actually. Good. So, given these limitations in the Nordics, the forests grow faster in Central Europe. We know that. So, why should you still invest in the Nordic forest?
That's a question often posed. And forest grows even faster, let's say, in Oceania and South America. But biological growth, it's only one aspect. And from my point of view, as an investment professional, I would look more into the relative growth. And what I mean with relative growth is that how much the forest grows, how much it produces in relation to the price per hectare. And then you can compare real returns. I would say that in France or in Germany, the real returns, having in mind the high land prices, might be between 1% and 2%, while in Finland it's on average 4%. So that gives the reason to invest in the slow growth Nordic forests. Another thing is that, of course, the slow growth timber, it's a very good construction material, for example.
I'm very interested in how does the forest owner generate income from his forest properties very concretely, and what type of total returns can you expect from an investment in Nordic forests?
Well, if you ask about the main components of the total return, it's there are two elements. The direct return, so I call the cash flow component, the annual harvesting minus costs. And the second one is value growth. And for example, in our funds, in our portfolios, value growth is very important component, and it consists of price changes, price per land and timber prices, and also the changes in the value of the growing stock. Every year we harvest less than the forest grows, so it increases the value of the stock and its composition also. We buy usually young developing forests stands, which haven't reached yet the size of saw logs. So then there will be this value transfer one day, pulpwood turning to saw logs. So these two components.
Okay, and about the total returns you can expect?
On average, it has been 4% in Finland. That's for the whole private forest,
okay,
mass. And we as professional investors, we should do a little better. Our return target is between 4% and 6%.
Well, but 4% and 6% for an institutional with a long-term asset allocation is pretty attractive target, actually.
It's pretty okay, and we have been able to provide also annual cash return about 3%.
Okay. So, we learned about wind parks, that they are going to be a significant source of income for forest owners in the next couple of years. How about that? Is that true?
It is true. The growth of that energy sector, it's been amazing. It has surprised me and many others. And nowadays, it's not even subsidized. It's completely market-based. We have been negotiating with wind energy developers very actively about 2 years now. And we have made several contracts with them. So we are not developing windmill parks ourselves. We are renting land. We have big, large, properties, even up to 2,000 hectares. So it means that there's a lot of mills that will be built in our land. Let me recall the figures. I should remember them. It's 2020. Wind energy accounted for 10% of the total electricity production. So it accounted. It meant increase of 30% in the capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It means about 300 megawatts. And this year, it is estimated the growth will be 1,000 megawatts. And we don't even have to wait until 2030. This expected that the capacity will double already in 2024. Of course, these processes are long. You have to follow many different regulations, and it's always a decision of the local municipality whether it will be allowed or not. You have to also ask for the permission from the defense forces. But communities also, they like the wind parks because they are a significant source and will be a significant source of tax income.
While we are talking about regulatory issues, at the European level, there is a lot of talk going on about taxonomy issues. When do you think that carbon credits from forest will have a relevant impact, actually?
Yes, the taxonomy, it's very complex. Complex matter, and it's quite difficult to follow it from the distance. From Brussels, the European Parliament, they voted for they accepted the taxonomy yesterday, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's very topical issue. But to my understanding, as an investment professional, taxonomy is more part of financial regulation. It's aiming at tying together climate targets and financing of businesses. So the taxonomy, those criteria that we accepted yesterday, it defines the criteria what kind of financing and investment project can be regarded sustainable, and ultimately this should have impact on the price of money for this project. So when it comes to carbon credits, of course, we, all the forest owners, we have been waiting to have such a system that is already in place, like in New Zealand and state of California. At EU level, I think that it's more than taxonomy. It relates to this carbon sink calculations. And EU level, more than taxonomy, there's this LULUCF, land use change and forestry sector, and then this climate package, what they call Fit for 55. And if and when the forests will be calculated to this carbon sink targets and carbon balance calculations, I think that there should be then forest owners possibility to become part of this carbon credit schemes. But still, I'm afraid that it will still take many years to materialize. But from the taxonomy itself, I don't expect much on this in this regard.
Okay. Kari, we're coming to the last question. If you want to add exposure to other parts of the value chain in the forestry sector, where do you see the best potential, or how should you take on this exposure?
Well, that's once again a good one. This forest sector value chain, it's very interesting. It's fastly developing and it's growing. That's why United Bankers, this year we opened a fund that is providing an opportunity to make an investment to the whole value chain. In one investment, it means that from the forest to the global industry. And when you talk about the value chain, there are several fast-growing sectors, packaging, tissue papers, for example. I mean, e-commerce is growing every year. In Asia, population is growing. People are urbanizing. They are getting wealthier, and they start to use this hygiene paper. That's not so exciting, but a big growth sector. And in our fund, and in general, I would look into emerging products, such as wood-based textiles. Textile industry, it's multi-billion dollar business sector, and there's a growing tendency to substitute cotton with other renewable, less harmful materials. And in value chain, I would all in all follow the tendency that the environmental awareness, it's constantly driving development of new wood-based products, quite interesting ones, and also high-tech products. And there's much higher value added than paper or sawn wood. And these investment opportunities, they emerge frequently. It's interesting story, and it's nice to be part of it.
Interesting. That sounds like a very innovative market in the timber sector.
Well, it has changed quite a bit since early 90s when I started my career. So it has renewed itself.
Great. This was Kari Kangas, the fund manager of the United Bankers Timberland Fund. Thank you for the interview, Kari. That was fun.
Thank you very much.
LTE.com, the online portal for institutional investors in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland. LTE.com.